Hello and welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week.
What is this place?
The Sock Hop Contest Wing.
Ah.
Car Talk Plaza.
Again.
And during today's show, we'll be giving you details of how you can win a trip to Boston to come to the world famous, now world famous. It didn't start off that way.
When we first started this Sock Hop in 1917.
Right, it was called the Obscure Car Talk Sock
Hop. Yeah, because we were trying to play songs of the 50s, and it was only 1917. Most of those songs had not been written yet.
Right, and then last year it became the second annual Car Talk Sock Hop, and now it's the world famous. You stop, you know, enumerating them.
Oh, so the first year we said, hey, we got a good idea. Let's have a sock hop. Second year it was second annual, and now it's world famous. And next year it will be
extinct. Back to obscurity.
Back to obscurity.
Well, I guess you have no letters to read.
I have one here. Hmm. As usual, we get most of our mail from PhDs. Man, are they on our case? We have once again been taken to task. Mm. And I'm especially embarrassed for you about this. I'm ashamed for you. Oh. Since you have a PhD in chemistry. Dear sirs.
I'll have you know, I almost flunked chemistry.
It's addressed to Dr. and Mr. or Mr. and Dr. or Click and Clack or Staff Grammarian, Department of Grammatical Minutiae, Car Talk Plaza, da 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 da. Dear sirs, in your discussion of the source of inner windshield film.
Yeah, why is there a question mark after sirs?
There is. I didn't read that, did I? In our discussion of the source of inner... Remember we talked about the film, and we said what happens is the plastic, in fact...
I said that the plastic sublimates.
Right. As any... And that's what he says you said. As any respectable PhD chemist knows, and you are one of those, damn it. The verb... I mean, the process is, in fact, sublimation, but the verb is to sublime. When chemical components sublime out of the plastic seat covers, they leave a film or a sublimate on the inner windshield. And the verb sublimate is a psychological term.
Ooh. So what is the word sublimation?
Sublimation is okay. That's the process by which solids sublime.
What is the word sublimate?
Here it is. Divert the expression of an instinctual desire or impulse from its primitive form to one that is considered more socially or culturally acceptable.
Beat down.
Yeah. American males sometimes sublimate their reproductive energies into obsessions with other activities like automotive repair. Hey, well, Mitch Brenner, you're absolutely right, boy.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I am.
Hi, this is Debbie in Tennessee.
Hi, Debbie.
Debbie, what a wonderful southern accent you have.
Oh, come on. I sound like...
You sound like us, right?
You don't sound like us, Debbie. Come on.
No. My dog barks when a Yankee comes to the door.
He must be rolling over now.
He can't hear you. I have got this car my husband bought 3 months ago, and we are in love with it. It's a 78 Peugeot. Wait a minute. Let me. Can I just tell you just a minute? It is just wonderful. Everything works on it.
Yeah.
I mean, the air conditioner works. The radio works. The sunroof works. It's a 504 diesel. But,
oh my God!
Oh, here come the butts now.
Here come the butts. All right, go ahead, Deb.
That's it. It runs great. It just runs great. It gets 38 miles a gallon. But we got it from a friend who brought it back from California. And when we had it about 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, it wouldn't go over 30 miles an hour.
I got homesick.
I don't know. Maybe it didn't like the change of climate. But it wouldn't go over 30 miles an hour, and all this black smoke was pouring out the back. Oh. So he takes it to our favorite mechanic here.
Who says, what the hell is this?
No, that's what all the people say because they ask me. Well, they don't know. It's so old, nobody knows what it is. But he kind of likes the car. Contrary to the way you all
Yeah, he sees his IRA being derived from this car every year.
Now, you know, before we could get it insured, our insurance man wanted a picture of it, and he wanted a mechanic to check it out. I think he thought it was uninsurable. It would be so bad.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful. But when we had it checked by this mechanic, he took off the air filter and, you know, to look at that. And in the remains of the air filter, which had deteriorated,
mice.
They had wrapped one of those pink rags that they used at the gas station to wipe the dipstick on, around in the air filter.
Wrapped around the air filter.
Oh, that! My guess is it got sucked into the air filter somehow.
Well, I mean, could it have done that?
Well, that would certainly explain it not being able to go over 30 miles an hour.
Well, yeah, I wondered, is that going to, I don't know how long it was in there. It came to us like that, and it ran fine like that for 6 weeks.
Boy, that's surprising.
Well, it may have started off as a blanket, and it may just be whittled down to the size of a rag.
Hey, maybe it was a seat cover.
Right. Well, I mean, what's the verdict here? I mean, when they finally, when he took this rag out of the air cleaner, did it...
Okay, now it runs beautifully.
Sure. I mean, that would certainly cause the problem. If you restrict the flow of air into the engine,
yeah,
then the engine being starved for air won't have any power.
Could that have caused any kind of damage to the car?
Not unless the rest of the rag is inside the engine.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility.
No, but I mean, the air filter would prevent big things like rags and animals and
stone
bicycles, you know, from getting
in
there.
Did I do this a lot in California?
Well, my guess is somebody happened to leave the rag near the air intake and it got sucked in and Mother Nature made it go right around the air filter.
Oh, you don't think maybe they just didn't have an air filter to fit it and thought that would
No,
work.
Because it wouldn't run. The rag is just too dense to allow enough air to get through to make the thing run.
Well,
so the fact that it was going 30 miles an hour and no more is perfectly consistent with the rag being stuffed in there.
Well, now it'll go 75.
Sure, now it'll go like crazy.
Yeah, it's real perky. I really like the little car.
Debbie,
I don't know why you guys hate him so much.
God bless you. I wish you the very, very best with this car.
Debbie, call us back in about 6 months.
6 months? call us back in about a week.
it's going to go longer than that.
No, the truth of the matter is that if it's been in California all this time,
yeah,
it's probably not all rusted like it would be if it had been in any other part of the country.
No, it's in really good condition.
Right. And the truth of the matter is that although we have all frequently, I should say, bad mouthed Peugeot.
Yeah.
The truth is that I don't really think it's a terrible car.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has some nice qualities.
And when you get it
good, list them.
And as long as it, I mean, I wouldn't go on any long trips.
Oh.
But as long as you just stay close by, you'll have a wonderful time with this car.
Well, we will. And thank you so much.
All right, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She'll hate this car in a week. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Robin Leach. I'm in Lakeville, Connecticut.
Robin Leach with the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
No, I wish I were.
Poor and obscure. What?
Too obscure.
So what's up, Robin?
I have a 88 Isuzu Trooper with a rotting out muffler, and I am concerned. Well, what I don't know is how much should a muffler and a tailpipe cost for one of these vehicles. I have I've got to go through the Connecticut emissions test, and I actually passed my due date because nothing's coming out of my tailpipe. The muffler's so bad.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to test the emissions if it's all coming out upstream.
Well, I might pass because there are no emissions.
No, you won't pass because it knows that. It's not that stupid. It can sense if the exhaust is diluted. And if it is diluted, if there's not enough CO2 in the mixture, it says,
Yeah, what do you mean? What do you want us to figure?
My problem is this. I've gotten three quotes for a new muffler and tailpipe. And
one more quote and you'll have a gallon.
Yeah, two of them are fairly consistent, and then I got a third one of $90, which is fully $110 below the other two.
So you got two quotes of a deuce.
Yeah.
And who are they from?
They were from what I would call the national muffler centers, like Meineke, Midas, and Monroe.
Yeah.
And then I got quote of $90 plus tax from a little hole-in-the-wall muffler joint. And
like Murray's Mufflers, one of those?
Exactly.
Yeah, it starts with an M, too. It's good that it starts with an M.
And they claim it's a lifetime muffler, and they bend their own pipe versus, I guess, buying all the original equipment parts. And I'm wondering what I'm missing by not paying $100.
Well, what you're missing is getting the right muffler. I mean, Murray may be well-intentioned, but he's probably got a bunch of Chevette mufflers stuck in a closet someplace, and he's trying to get rid of them. And you can make a lot of different mufflers fit this vehicle.
Right, that's true of most vehicles. You can make a lot of mufflers fit most vehicles as long as you got the pipe bending equipment to make the rest of the system fit.
Yeah, Murray sounds like the kind of guy that when he was a kid had like three erector sets. You know,
and he liked to put all the different
pieces
together.
Yeah, and
he was
able to make anything. Golden Gate Bridge and, you know, Busch Gardens, you name it. But you could, not to say that these you know, handmade exhaust systems aren't good, but it's very possible that he's putting in a muffler that's undersized.
And if it is undersized, I mean, the only real disadvantage to that is that it will make a lot of noise. It'll make more noise than it makes now.
Right, but it wouldn't prevent you from passing any tests unless he put a muffler that was way too small in there.
I mean, you should bear in mind that there is a huge markup on this stuff, because don't forget, we're not dealing with rocket science here.
Right.
We're dealing with a hunk of pipe which probably has a material cost of $3.
Right.
The muffler itself has a material cost of $5. So we're talking about $10 worth of stuff. So Midas chooses to mark it up from $10 to $200. So it's reasonable that some guy without national advertising and without big overhead would be able to just mark it up from $10 to $90 and still be happy.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible that Murray has something that's reasonable. I would give it a shot.
Right, but when you have this done, get Murray's home address. I just leave it off. Don't forget it.
Don't even put...
Move to another state where they don't check the emissions.
Hey, Robin, go to Murray and let us know what happens. The worst that can happen is that he puts in a piece of junk, but so what?
And then the next time, in 6 months...
It'll be noisy. You're not going to do any damage to the car.
No, the next time, go to Midas like you should have this time.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks,
bye,
guys.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Guess what?
The Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this.
You know what it's time for now?
It's
time for the Puzzler.
No kidding.
Do you remember last week's Puzzler?
Wait a minute. Isn't that my line?
Do you remember? Just answer the question. Do you remember last week's Puzzler?
No, I don't,
actually. Well, do you remember the answer?
I do.
That will be fine.
Can I just give the answer without restating the puzzle? No, this puzzler was about a fellow with a Ford pickup truck or a General Motors pickup truck. It was some large vehicle.
I think we specified Ford F-950, as my memory serves.
And this guy had put in a couple of clutches.
Yeah.
Okay, and he put one in, and it wouldn't shift after a short period of time, and he put another one in, and then it wouldn't shift, and he kept suspecting the clutches because, in fact, they would work for a little while, and then finally he got to the point where even a brand-new clutch wouldn't allow him to shift anymore, and I wanted to know what was wrong with this thing, and it obviously wasn't any of the clutches he had put in, and it wasn't anything wrong with the transmission.
Despite all those clutches.
What was wrong was that he had bad motor mounts. So when he was stepping on the clutch, what he was actually doing, instead of disengaging the clutch, he didn't notice this until the mounts got really, really bad, which was coincident with the last clutch being replaced.
Right.
That he was actually pushing the motor towards the front of the vehicle.
Right. And the clutch wasn't disengaging at all.
Wasn't disengaging at all.
Isn't that funny?
The reason a new clutch would make it work for a while and it's at early stages is that a new clutch is always easier to disengage than an old one. As a clutch begins to wear out, it gets harder and harder and harder to depress the fingers on the pressure plate. Until finally you can't shift. You say, aha, I need a new clutch. You put a new one in, and it works for a month.
Works
and then
for 3 days, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore.
Back to square one. And I said that this wouldn't happen on a vehicle that had a hydraulic clutch, because hydraulic clutches, that whole mechanism is mounted right on the bell housing. So that there's no net force on the motor. There's nothing to push the motor forward.
That's right. And as long as the clutch pedal went down, you would have pushed the fluid in the master cylinder down to the slave cylinder, and the clutch would have had to work. That's good.
Wouldn't it?
It would have had to work.
I'm not so sure about that.
Actually, I don't think there's any pickup truck that has a hydraulic clutch.
Fords do.
They do.
They have a better idea.
Do
we have a winner?
We have. The winner is Amy Rose from Silver City, South Carolina. And in exchange for the embarrassment of having used her name on this show, she's going to get an autographed copy of our wonderful new book with the title, Car Talk.
Right.
Now on your newsstand.
Silver City's in North Carolina, by the way. I happen to know because I've never been there.
Really?
Right, Amy, in case you happen to be living, because you're looking for your house in South Carolina, you're in the wrong state.
But anyway, we're going to autograph a copy of the book Car Talk and send it to Amy, and she can read everything there is to read about having to do with cars.
Right, and if you would like a copy of our book Car Talk, go to the store and buy
go
one.
Buy your own.
That's right. Time to take a call?
Yeah, hello, you're on 1-800. I'm going to remember the number now. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Tamsin.
Tamsin?
Tamsin Nash.
Tamsin?
Uh-huh.
I never heard that name in my life.
Well, it's pretty unusual.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
That figures.
California.
What end?
Calistoga, uh-huh, north of San Francisco.
Canistoga?
Uh-huh.
Where the wagons are made?
No, where the famous water comes from.
Oh, that stuff, yes.
So what's up, Tamsin?
Okay, well, I've been waiting 2 years for something to go wrong with one of my cars so I could call you guys.
You're patient.
And it finally happened.
See, okay. I wouldn't have had to wait 2 years.
My husband and I bought a 79 Super Beetle from some friends of ours last summer. And I'm waiting for you to laugh.
No. When you finish, we'll burst into laughter.
Yeah, and Okay. Besides, I'm trying to keep track of all where all the old hippies go. So Canistoga is one place. All right.
Okay, so we bought this 79 Super Beetle from some friends of ours. And we knew we were getting a good car because they said it was a good car. And because we have all the old records and...
It's 45s or 78s. How old are you, Tamsin?
Do you have any Victimone?
Anyway, okay, you got this 79 Super Beetle, which you think is a great car.
Yeah.
But that's questionable because it never was a great car, and I don't know what could have happened in the last 12 years
what
to have
metamorphosis
made
metamorphosis could have taken place, but we'll save that for another show.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Now, when we got it, we knew that it had a vibration in the steering.
Yeah, indeed.
But we bought it anyway because we really wanted it. And we thought, well, this doesn't sound like that big of a deal. We think we can get this fixed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we've had done to it.
Is this an old Contrera piston push situation here?
Yes, I believe so.
I have this long list. Okay, so we took it to the Volkswagen dealer. And
replaced the ball joint. I'm going to tell you what they replaced. The ball joints, tie rod, and steering wheel, steering damper.
Right.
Actually, none of those things.
Well, that's why they haven't fixed it.
Well, no wonder they haven't fixed it.
So that's why it's still vibrating.
What did they do?
Okay, so we had the tires rotated. We had them balanced, first of all. And then we had the front end aligned. And we knew, first of all, we knew that it hadn't been in an accident. That was our first thing that we wanted to check out.
Yeah, that's good.
And then after that, the vibrations were still continuing. This is like between 55 and 60.
You know what? You know what tactic these guys are using? They're using something farmers use all the time called slow milking.
I think they
just keep having you come back for just a little.
Right.
Nothing real big.
Well,
nothing to bust the old wallet, but just a little drain every time.
A little $40.
When you wake
here,
up in the morning, do you find yourself going?
Well, we were working up to something big.
Okay.
Yes.
Because
they're working up to the frame, aren't they?
No.
Well, we worked up to the tie rod.
Oh, that's good. They're getting close.
So I said, that sounds real expensive. That's probably it. So
the probabilities increase in direct proportion to the price. Yes,
so,
I like it.
So we had the tie rod fixed, and that helped. Each thing helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But when we got it home that time, we called them back and we said, hey, this wasn't it. So the service manager got real interested. Our car became their puzzler.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So he said, bring it back in. We're going to find out what's wrong. No charge. We're going to work on this baby until we find out what's wrong.
No charge?
No charge.
No charge for the diagnosis.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's fair.
First of all,
he has his special mechanic from Germany working on it, and he's driving it around. The service manager is determined to find out what's wrong.
I mean, wait a minute. This isn't exactly... No, they have to call any NASA scientists, and it's got like 7 parts in the whole front end.
Is this German mechanic's name Werner von Braun or anything like that?
So what have they suggested?
So they said after moving... Finally, they deflated the tires. They lifted them on the rim. They moved them a quarter turn. They did all these fancy
enough
things.
With the tires. It's not the tires.
Well, that's what they finally said after all of this was, okay, we think that one of your tires is not quite round.
Good start.
Okay, so we're thinking we suggest new tires. But the bottom line was,
I'm sorry, did I...
Beetle convertibles just do this. That was the bottom line.
Ah,
Beetle convertibles just do this.
Oh, bull.
So that's why I'm calling. I finally said, that's it, honey, to my husband.
Now, I'm going
to
tell you,
We're calling Click and Collect.
All right. I'm going to tell you, first of all, why they haven't fixed it.
Okay.
Because they don't have anyone there that's old enough. I'm serious.
Oh, okay.
To know these cars. When we were working on these cars, back when Tom was just a...
When I was just a lad.
The characteristics of these, when they had the shaking in the wheel, and it was common in so many of these, was that ball joints, worn ball joints could cause this, and they probably don't even know how to check them.
Okay.
So that would be the first thing I'd suspect, especially in a car that's 111 years old like this one.
Right.
So that's item number one.
Okay.
The second possibility is a worn steering box or a steering box that's out of adjustment.
Worn steering box, okay.
Yeah. Now, a bad steering damper can cause a vibration in an otherwise marginal front end, but if everything else is tight, if the ball joints and the tie rods are tight and the steering box is satisfactory and it's adjusted correctly, the steering damper won't make it vibrate. When I say vibrate, you have a rapid oscillation of the wheel back and forth, right, when you get a high speed?
Yes, like 18? Between
55
and
60. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they were right to start with the tires.
Uh-huh.
But once they moved all the tires around and turned them upside down and backwards and the vibration was still there, tell them to give up already on the tires. It's not the tires.
Uh-huh. But you got to find one of those dope-smoking old hippies that, you know, that looks like George Carlin. That still works on these things.
Okay, so not go back to the Volkswagen dealer. I've got to look for somebody that's been doing this for, like, 25 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and then tell them what, they'll call them up and tell them what was wrong with it.
The little shop and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the peace signs. You remember those?
I mean, you might have to drive over to Berkeley to do this.
I might.
Yeah, well, that'd be a nice day
trip. If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do.
Okay.
But get it looked at, because if it is a ball joint or a bad steering box, it's really dangerous.
Oh, okay.
So don't delay.
Okay.
And these things are infamous for bad ball joints.
They are. Okay.
Yeah.
And see, that's not anything they ever mentioned.
Well, if they didn't even mention ball joints, don't go back.
They don't know how to check them. They're checking them incorrectly.
I mean, this guy may be from Germany, but he probably, like, makes cheese or wine or something.
Sauerkraut, beer, anything. But no, he doesn't do Volkswagen.
Yeah, he doesn't know from Volkswagen.
Get it looked at soon. Promise?
Yes, I promise.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Well, thanks very much, guys.
Bye-bye. Well, look.
Why would anyone want to drive around in a 79 car?
I don't know. Don't go anywhere. Stick around for more calls and the new Puzzler coming right up. We're back. This is NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions.
Speak for yourself. You may be back, but I may not be.
Oh, that's true.
How do you know?
He's way back.
I'm still in a parallel universe.
But we're here to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and the care and feeding of the yellow-bellied spring skeet.
Hey, did I mention
and
that I get...
If any of you have seen the yellow-bellied spring skeet, please let us know.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
The Audubon Society actually has been working with us on tracking down the yellow-bellied spring skeet. Because there aren't very many of them, and no one knows how they migrate. So they could be anywhere in the world.
Huh? Are you talking to me? You know what it's time for right now?
Well, no.
New Puzzler.
Ah, sure.
Actually, from time to time, I like to do a puzzle that's brief. I mean, you know, not one of these verbose puzzles that requires lengthy explanations and dissertations about, and interdisciplinary puzzles. I like to just...
Simple,
nice, simple. You know, give you the question.
Three or four words.
Yeah.
You know, like we had one that was the shortest puzzle we ever had. I forgot now what it was.
I don't remember either.
Why do birds fly? Or one of those.
No,
things.
Yeah, no. It was. So I like to do that because from time to time it saves time. We can take more calls during the show, and we don't have to waste as much time doing the puzzle because as we know, most people hate the puzzles anyway.
So you're gonna get to it or what?
Actually, this is a two-part puzzle.
I love those, man. Part one.
Yeah.
Part B. Well, okay. Part one.
It has to do with English language.
Ooh.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and as luck would have it, I was listening to the BBC.
Yeah.
And they keep mispronouncing this word, and I thought I'd set the record straight.
Yeah, straighten them out.
There's a stuff that beer cans and the like are made out of in this country, which the English can consistently call aluminium.
You mean aluminium cans? Yeah.
And of course, as everyone knows, we call them tin cans. And we call them
beer cans.
aluminum cans.
Yeah.
why do they call them aluminium cans? Or why do they refer to that metal as aluminium?
So the first part has to do with the with that material, which is either called
aluminum.
Which is
a mispronunciation.
Yeah.
Of the word aluminum. Why do they mispronounce it?
Okay. I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
And now for the highly technical automotive part of the puzzle.
B. Part B.
Part 2.
B. First part was part 1.
Oh, I'm sorry. What does STP stand for?
Whoa!
There are three people on the whole planet that know this.
Andy Granatelli.
And us. So if you think you know the answer, the answers.
Answers.
Send them to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston, Massachusetts, 02215. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on
Car Talk. Hello, you're on Car Talk in Our Fair City.
My name is Kirk, and I'm calling from Davie, Florida.
You're not Captain Kirk, are you?
Well, to some.
You're from where?
Davie, Florida.
Davie, where's that?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like this little island of cowboys. And
little island paradise.
Yeah, actually.
Is that right? Do you work for a living, or do you just, like, hang out?
Well, I try to at least create the illusion of having a visible means of support.
What, are you on a papaya plantation?
You know, I've often wondered if... I don't understand how people can work when the weather is always nice. I mean...
It's hard.
If I lived in Honolulu, how could you say, we're going to go do a couple of brain surgeries this morning? I mean, how could you take anything seriously?
It's difficult. And like today, I'm really worried the suntan police are going to come inside and give me a ticket.
So what's up, Kirk?
Well, actually, this is an act of desperation. I have an 88 Dodge Daytona, which I've had taken in for a couple of alignments frequently. It seems like I can't seem to hold an alignment more than about 3 days.
Hmm.
I wonder if these guys even test drive the cars. So he says, well, you got slashed boots on your...
constant velocity joints.
Yeah, some kind of joint underneath.
CV joints need slashed boots, right?
Right. So I says, can I get back to you on this? I get in the $19 for the alignment, and we drove off and into the sunset.
Yeah.
And I crawled underneath there, and I'll tell you, I'm still looking for these rips. But they...
Are you suggesting that this man was not totally honest with you? That he might have somehow attempted to relieve you of some of your money? Because he was in the automotive industry?
You know, well, anyone who's coveting my money's in big trouble.
Did you tell him that? And he said, anybody's money's okay by me.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, the boots is just a red herring
here. Every
time
I get this thing aligned, about 3 days later, it's heading for the canal. I let go of the wheel, and it goes straight off to the uh-huh. right-hand side of the road. It's going straight for the ditch.
Yeah.
And what I'm worried about is I'm going to take it to another guy, and he's going to tell me that I need,
an alignment.
You know, I'm going to need not only an alignment, but an $11,000 Duger housing that's going to require
Duger housings are often responsible.
Of the front of the car.
Has the same guy done all two or three of these alignments?
No.
Different place.
Different guys. And each one has the same result.
First question is, are they correctly aligning the vehicle? And the reason I asked if you went to the same place three times is to find out if, in fact, these guys were bozos. But
right.
You may have gone to three different bozos.
Okay, the first two I took to the same guy.
First two to the same guy, and the third one to yet another guy.
The third one to a different bozo.
Yeah.
Okay, who charged you $19?
Right. I think, well, maybe if I pay for the alignment, it'll work.
It First generally all, helps, yeah.
$19 is,
works with me.
$19 is pretty cheap for an alignment to begin with.
Okay.
So you may not be getting a top-notch alignment.
Yeah.
So I would go. I mean,
you think this is like a lost leader sort of deal to get him in? And
well, it might be. I don't know. Maybe like an oil change.
That's an unfair question. How do you know?
The other thing to remember is it's not just an alignment necessarily that can cause the car to pull.
Okay, yeah. Now, this is really the heart of my question.
Yeah.
What else could be doing this?
Well, it could two things. It could be the car itself. Like, for example, if the tire pressures are not absolutely equal on all four wheels.
Mm-hmm. Or if the tires are no good, and I suspect that these are the original tires.
Yeah.
See, you may be...
What was your first clue? $14.
Yeah,
you, you get those free with the $14 oil change.
That would get you off them in, the right.
Now, listen, you may be leaving these alignments with what we call, okay, PAE, post-alignment euphoria. And we see it frequently where people have the alignment done, and you want to believe that the alignment is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you drive on.
You immediately let go of the steering wheel.
No, you don't. You don't. You just
want to think that this is all I need, and I can go back with my life. Yeah.
Right, right. And then a few days later, you discover it really isn't any better than it was when I went in. So that's my guess. That's what's really happening. You need to go to yet another bozo.
Mm-hmm. And bozo
offer to
number
pay
three.
Real money. Leave a trail of $20 bills as you walk into the place. Just tell them you're willing to pay good cash money. I would suggest a Dodge dealer. There may be something wrong. You may have had an accident with this, or someone may have had an accident before you took possession of it. There may be something that's bent, rendering the car unalignable. You may have bad struts. You may have bad tires.
So go to the Dodge dealer, and keep in mind, it's possible that there is nothing wrong with the car, because if you're driving along on a road, the crown of the road, the slant of the road, is enough to make the car pull to the right. So are you sure that you're absolutely on the flat of the road when it's pulling to the right?
Or up on top of the crown.
If you were exactly in the center
saying,
on the crown, try that test.
Try it
at night. Get right up there in the center of the road and straddle that center strip and just barrel down the road and see if, in fact, when you let go of the wheel, if it really does still pull, because it may be all in your mind. Because you may have, instead of PAE, you may have PAA, post-alignment anxiety.
Or amnesia.
Or amnesia. And you're just so involved with the alignment.
Am I going to take that to my therapist now?
Yeah, you can. It's only $19, though. Don't worry.
Bye-bye.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
He had nothing better to do but call us.
He did. Well, it's time to say goodbye to everybody.
So long for a while. That's all the wrong answers for a while.
Another hour of NPR's Car Talk has mercifully come to an end. Our producer is Doug Berman. Our assistant producer is Don Jennings. Our engineer and dean of the Department of Auto Musicology is Ken Rogers. Our technical advisor and pen kidnapper is John S. Lawler. We'll discuss that later. We had help from Stephanie Cool. Stephanie Q. Cool. What's the Q for? That's not her name.
Cutie.
Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender, who, by the way, hasn't done a damn bit of research in about a year and a half. Our public, and he called me about this, Murky did. He says it's Polster, not a upholsterer. Our public opinion pollster.
So why is he always working on the seats?
Is Paul Murky of Murky Research. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Less Is More. Our staff composer is Bela Kartok. Our chief correspondent is Walter Winchield.
And we are Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Wear your seatbelt and be nice to somebody on the road. Wouldn't that be nice?
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.